We all want the best for our kids, but knowing what's truly best isn't always easy. Hi, I'm Rob West. You've probably heard it or said it yourself. I just want my kids to have what I didn't. It sounds noble, but it can sometimes lead to financial trouble. Today, I'll talk with Dr. Art Rayner about how that mindset can push parents into debt. And then we'll have some great calls, but don't call in today because we're pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we're delighted to have our old friend Art Rayner with us today. He's the director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health, the organization that certifies Christian Financial Counselors, or CERT CFCs. Art, it's great to have you back with us.
Hey, it's always an honor. Thank you for having me.
Art, a lot of folks, as you know, struggle with wanting to give their kids the best chance in life and yet not break the bank while doing it. You have an article on faithfi.com titled, Six Things That Can Lead Loving Parents Into Debt, and I want to get right into them. So what's the first one?
Sounds good. The first is keeping up with the Joneses, trying to maintain the lifestyle of those around you. Your neighbor or coworker dresses their children in high-end clothing, and so you want to do the same. Or your neighbor sends their children to a private school, so you decide to follow suit, even though you can't really afford the cost. The Joneses are a frustrating crew to chase because they're always shifting the standard, right? Yes. As soon as you feel that you have arrived, they move it slightly out of reach again. So we need to be careful here. There will always be other parents who spend more on their children, but they may be using debt to finance it. You could be chasing a facade.
All right. So don't get trapped into debt by keeping up with the Joneses. I love it. Number two.
It's one you might not think of. Spending time on social media. Yeah. The images that you see on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever, are simply the filtered versions of those that you follow. The constant barrage of great vacations, child accolades, and perfect family moments can make you feel like you're a bad parent at times. You can easily create unrealistic expectations and try to buy your way to feeling better about yourself.
Yeah, the best version of someone's life on social media has certainly added to the comparison trap. All right, that's two. What's number three?
Yeah, so this one is easy to fall into. Thinking your kids won't succeed in life if they don't have it all. You know, extracurricular activities have entered a whole new realm. Travel leagues, academic and athletic camps, and private tutoring have become just a commonplace now. Unfortunately, there's a cost to all of these activities and experiences, eating up time and money. Now, are extracurricular activities good? Yeah, absolutely. But are they worth going into debt? Absolutely not.
Oh, boy, I know this one all too well. A dancer, a soccer player, two basketball players. We've certainly been down that road. You have to be careful. All right, what's number four, Art?
And that is caring more about your child's future career than their future character. Often, the focus of our parenting is centered on getting our child into a good school or setting them up to have a good career. Those are important, but they're not the most important. The most important part of parenting, shepherding our child's heart, is difficult and time-consuming, but it's also less costly.
Yeah, and the one can never make up for the other, that's for sure. All right, what's number five?
It's the one that you mentioned in the beginning, wanting to give your kids what you didn't have growing up. You probably remember a time when, as a child, you didn't get something you wanted. Maybe it was a new bike. Maybe as a teenager, it was a certain car. You or your parents, they just couldn't afford it. And you remember how you felt. Now, as a parent, you don't want your child to experience those exact same feelings you had. So when they ask, they get, even if the purchase requires a credit card.
Oh, boy, and that's a tough one. And it leads right into the last one. We've got just 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's right. Not considering how lacking something actually helped you as a kid. You remember lacking something as a kid, but do you also remember what resulted from not being able to get that item? Yeah. You may have resorted to more creative play. If you were a teenager, you may have gotten a job. Those moments in your childhood helped you in your growth as an individual. Now, don't you want your children to have the same opportunity?
Absolutely. Boy, those are really good. And I really appreciate you stopping by, Art. Really good stuff.
Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Art Rayner, director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health. You can learn more at christianfinancialhealth.com. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Exile was coming for Israel. To be removed from the land of promise and the temple, for some that felt like a death sentence. What was the point of living if God was no longer with them? Identity, hope, future, all seemed lost. But even in judgment, God spoke words of grace through Ezekiel chapter 11. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, "Although I sent them far away among the nations, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone." God promised to be with them, and He's with us as well. We live as exiles in this world. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we are never alone. You'll get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Life can be hard, but we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. I'm Christy Graham, host of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, and I want to encourage you in your walk with God. Listen each week as we go behind the scenes of our work around the world. You'll be challenged and encouraged in your own faith as you hear how God is actively changing lives. Join us for On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, don't call in today. Our team is away from the studio, but we did line up some questions that we will get to, and I'm confident you will enjoy them. You know, we hear from so many of you that tell us that God is at work through this ministry in your life, and we're so grateful. If you want to support our work here at Faith and Finance, the easiest way to do that is for you to become a FaithFi partner. Just head to faithfi.com and click give, and as a way of encouraging you in your stewardship journey, we'll send you all kinds of resources every quarter. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. Let's head back to the phone, Chicagolands, where we're going next. Andrew, go ahead.
Yes. So I'm in sales, and I recently switched jobs. And some of my contracts that I sold that I got paid out on commission, I actually had to pay back since they were in the middle of the contract. And it was part of my contract that I had with the company. Since I had to pay back that money, am I able to write that off as a loss under in my taxes?
Yeah, you're going to want to let your CPA know that. Do you normally do your own taxes, or do you have somebody do it for you?
I have someone do it for me.
Okay, yeah, you'll just want to tell that person that that happened. Essentially, it could be handled one of two ways. The first question is, did the company already adjust your 1099 and didn't report the commission as income, and then you don't have to do anything? If it is there and your 1099 NEC, non-employment compensation, includes that full commission, then you'll need to report the repayment properly. And depending on the amount, it may happen on Schedule C as a business expense. It may actually happen a different way, where you would classify it, I believe it would be, it's a different classification. Let me just say that. So there's a couple of ways it may need to be handled depending on the amount. But the first question is, did they report it at all? And you'll find that out when you get the 1099. You absolutely won't have to pay taxes on it. Your CPA can take care of that. You're going to want to have a letter from your employer stating why the commission was repaid. You'll want to have a receipt showing the payment. And then, you know, your 1099 NEC for the year you originally received the commission. And then that documentation will be important just in case you were ever challenged.
Yeah, it makes sense. And it's kind of a weird one, too, because I got paid out in 2024 and then I left in 2020, the beginning of 2025. So it's like it was a big hit. But it is what it is. It was my contract. They were in the right as much as I hated it. So. Well,
totally. Yeah. And the good news is, because you paid it back, it's not going to be taxable to you. You just want to make sure that it's done properly so it doesn't raise any red flags. And then, of course, get that documentation. Should be fairly straightforward, though, Andrew. We appreciate you calling today. All the best to you, my friend. To California. Hi, Donna. How can I help?
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. Yes, I'm still working full time. I hit my full retirement age for Social Security 3 years ago. And so I'm working and collecting my Social Security. So that's both added on to my, you know, whatever I have to pay taxes on at the end of the year. And I heard that something about when President Trump took over, that they're going to stop taxing Social Security. I don't know if that's true or not, or if you've heard anything about that.
Yeah. President Trump has proposed eliminating federal income taxes on Social Security benefits. It's a part of a broader tax reform agenda that he has for the administration, which also removes taxes on tips and overtime pay. You may have heard him talk about that during the campaign. He's reiterated that since he's taken office. Currently, as you are aware, Social Security benefits are subject to federal income taxes depending upon your combined income. When it exceeds certain thresholds, it goes from not being taxable to up to 50% being taxable, and then it can go all the way up to as much as 85% of it being taxable. Obviously, this would have to go through Congress in order for this to be enacted into law. Right now, it's just a proposal. So is it possible? Absolutely. Is this something that the president is serious about? He sure is. But we'll just have to wait and see. So in the meantime, there's really not anything you need to do. You're going to hear a lot more about it before we were to see it come into law. But at this point, you know, if you're depending on your filing status, you'll either be paying zero up to 50% or up to 85% on your benefits.
So at full retirement age, they still can take like 50% of it, because, you know, with my salary, it comes out to a pretty high amount that I make.
Well, not 50% of your benefit, but up to 50% of your benefit would be taxable. So it would be added to your taxable income. So how do you file? Do you file single or joint?
Yeah, single.
Okay. So single, and what would be your total income roughly? Do you know?
It's probably almost 90,000.
Okay.
Together.
Yeah, so it's your adjusted gross income plus any non-taxable interest, plus half of your Social Security benefits. You put all that together, and if that goes above $34,000, which clearly it would, then up to 85% of your benefits are taxable. So up to 85% of that check you get every month is going to be added to your taxable income, and then you're going to pay more, you know, taxes on top of it. And I think that's President Trump's point is, wait a minute, you know, we've worked our whole lives. We paid these FICA taxes into the system. Now we're getting the benefit of that and drawing this benefit check. And the IRS is circling back and saying, yeah, but you're going to keep paying tax on it, into the system for other people. And it's like, wait a minute, why am I paying tax on something that I you know, paid tax to get. And that's the reality of the situation. So it will need, until something were to change, it will be added back into your benefits if you continue to stay at this level of combined income.
Yes. Well, it's going to probably get higher by the end of the year. But I have them take 10% out of my Social Security at this time. And then I pay, on my employment salary, I have them zero for, like, I don't even put one for taxing. I take zero. So they take the most out of taxes out of my employment. So, but I still, at the end of the year, have to pay a lot of taxes. Thank you for your time and all your.
You're welcome. Good news is that taxes are symptomatic of income, which is evidence of God's provision. So it's a, you know, perhaps another way just to take a step back and say, well, all right, Lord, I don't love paying the taxes, but I do. I am thankful that you have provided, and that's the reason I'm having to pay the taxes. We appreciate you checking in with us, Donna. God bless you. To Illinois. Hi, Renee. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob, and thank you for your show and all you do.
You.
My question is, my mother is in assisted living now, and I'm paying the rent through her savings account, and I'm anticipating selling her home. I would like to take the proceeds and put some in high-yield savings so it's liquid so I can continue to pay for her account or for her rent. And the other portion I would like to put in a Roth, and I was wondering what your advice would be for that. And also if there'd be any tax implications if she were to pass and, you know, my brother and I had anything left.
Yeah, I love that you're going to shore up her savings. She would not be able to, or you on her behalf, contribute to a Roth without earned income. And I'm assuming she doesn't have earned income, wages and salaries and so forth, right?
She doesn't.
Okay,
correct.
So a Roth is not an option, unfortunately, because it's tied to her specifically. It's individual, so it's based on her Social Security number, and she would need to have that earned income. So I think you're either shoring up your emergency fund and savings or investing outside of a retirement plan. Those would be the only two options. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
The mission of AFA is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in its task in fulfilling the Great Commission. The vision of American Family Association is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training in the interest of cultural transformation.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Battagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. Recognizing God owns it all, we're stewards, so money is now a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Money is, keep in mind, morally neutral. It's a blessing. It was created by God to be used for good works, to enjoy, to provide for our families, to be able to create memories, to be able to support the needs of others, and to give generously. It's when we make the object of our affection money and the things that money can buy, when we align our hearts toward the pursuit of wealth only for wealth's sake, well, that's when we can get awry. But when we see it as a blessing and we use it in the way it was intended, well, it can accomplish all kinds of good. And as to scripture, it can be enjoyed. And that's the way we want to encourage you today as you think about the practical decisions and choices you're making. Let's go to Susan. Susan, how can I help you?
Yes, to give you a little background, I have a transfer on death deed to my granddaughter for my house that's paid off, and I have my 401k going to her to refurbish it. I have no debt. The house, the cars, credit cards, everything's paid off. I have my funeral all paid for. But my question is, I have a disabled son, and I would like to leave him some money without attorneys or the government taking it away from him. Is there a way to do that?
Yes. Well, I think I'm glad you're thinking about this now. And there are two tools that can work very effectively for this purpose. One is called an ABLE account, A-B-L-E. It stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. It celebrated its 10th year anniversary last year and is really for it's an account that it would have assets in it that would not then in any way prevent him from accessing government benefits. And so that could be a great resource. And there's pretty much a wide usage in terms of how those funds can be used. And that can be combined with a special needs trust, which is the longstanding solution, again, for families to support individuals with disabilities. And again, the primary thing, preserving eligibility for government benefits. And it can hold all kinds of assets. And the trust spells out how the trustee will manage the affairs and assets of the trust and who will get it when the person with disabilities passes away. And it has tremendous flexibility for spending on needs not covered by government benefits. And so that can be a great tool. And using these two together can be very effective. So I think the next step is for you to visit with an estate attorney, Susan, who really specializes in special needs trusts and estate planning for these types of situations so that it can be set up properly to make sure that the assets are there for the rest of his life, but not, you know, get in the way of the $2,000 asset limit, for example, on the government assistance. Does that make sense?
So he could still get assistance with that account?
Yes, with both the ABLE account and the special needs trust, it allows the assets to be set aside for his purpose and spelled out in the trust for him to use for those expenses that go beyond what the government assistance would provide, but it does not in any way affect his ability to get that government assistance because it is not counted toward the asset limits.
Okay, so the ABLE account would be the same way as special needs?
Yes, the special needs trust. The thing with the ABLE account is you can only put so much in it. So, for instance, you can only have $100,000 in an ABLE account at any given time, or your SSI or Medicaid will get suspended. So I would have the ABLE account up to $100,000 for, a lot of flexibility with certain expenses. And then the special needs trust really doesn't have that same cap. It can really have an unlimited amount of money in the special needs trust and not affect those government benefits. And that can be used, you know, for paying for things like food or rent and, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Okay. I think that helps me then. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. I would reach out to, if you don't have one of the certified Kingdom advisors in your area there. You can do that on our website at faithfi.com and just ask for a referral to an estate planning attorney. And in particular, what you'd want to be looking for is somebody who has experience putting these types of accounts in place. Hopefully that's what you needed. Call anytime, Susan. Thanks for being on the program. Quickly to Indiana. Hi, Cheryl. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about my daughter is a freshman in college, and she has two CDs that are coming up to mature, one this month and one next month. But we're also looking at the fact that she may need a car. And so we were wondering if she could, like, when, instead of rolling the CDs over to be in there for, like, nine more months at that highest interest rate that our credit union is offering, if she would put those into put them in together to give her enough money for a high-yield money market. That way she'd be earning some decent interest. And if it's my understanding then that money market would be more liquid. So if she found a car that she could take that money out and purchase a car with it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you could even look at, I mean, I'm seeing banks right now paying 4.5% where it's completely liquid, no minimums, no fees. And, you know, 4.5% is not bad. Now, if she can do better in a money market account and with the FDIC insurance, well, great. Because, yeah, that'd absolutely be liquid. But she could do it with a high yield savings or a money market. Either of those would give her the safety that she's looking for with FDIC insurance. And she could get a decent yield. So if it's in there for a year, you know, maybe she makes a few hundred dollars, which is great. So either of those would be a great fit. But you're right. I would not roll it over into new CDs because she may need it before it comes due. Thanks for your call, Cheryl. A quick break and back with much more after this. Stay with us.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Funds Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Are you looking for a financial professional who shares your Christian values and offers advice you can trust? Certified Kingdom Advisors are experienced financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program rooted in biblical financial wisdom. They meet high standards of integrity, competence, and stewardship, helping you honor God with all He's entrusted to you. To find a certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a Professional.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, help you make decisions in light of God's word as you're a steward of God's resources. We were going to take a call from Kent. I don't think he could hold, but he was going to talk about, and I won't get into his specific question in case we can get him back on. He was going to talk about choosing a financial advisor and specifically, do I need an advisor? But let me talk about kind of the three big categories here for a moment of finding a financial advisor, because we get this question a lot, and I think a lot of you would benefit by it. You know, first of all, Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for the lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And so when it comes to managing money wisely, we need to have, I think, some wise counsel walking alongside us. The key is, and this is the question we get a lot, how do I know it's the right financial advisor for me? And you hear me talking a lot about the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, CKA, and that we've got 1,800 CKAs across the country, and that you can have someone who shares your values walking alongside you. And the reason that we think that's so important, you know, when I think about really the three big categories, among others, that you'll want to talk about with your advisor as you're interviewing that person, right there at the top of the list is this category around values alignment. I want to know my advisor shares my worldview and can integrate it into his or her counsel so that I can be more confident in the advice that they give. And so that key question you would ask is, what role does faith play in your financial advice? And I think their answer can help determine if the advisor truly integrates biblical truth. The goal is to find someone who doesn't just respect your values, but shares them. Because there's a big difference between an advisor who is a Christian and one who actively discusses financial decision making through the lens of Scripture. Here's the reality. The Bible has a lot to say on money. The key is, does your advisor understand the counsel of Scripture that money is a good gift from God? But it has a seduction. There's a seduction to wealth that we need to be on our guard against. Does he or she understand that everything belongs to God, and therefore I am a steward with ownership, not ownership rights, but stewardship responsibilities? Does he or she understand that giving breaks the grip of money over our lives, and it has an implication for my heart, because when I give, it aligns my heart with God's heart, and that's a really big deal, because that can change everything about the way I handle money. Does he or she understand that, you know what, I can get concerned in times of economic uncertainty or economic loss, but ultimately God is my provider. And so therefore I can trust him. And guess what? I can continue to hold what God has entrusted to me with an open hand. I mean, these are big ideas that really are the bedrock for financial decision making. And you need to understand these things, and that's why we do this show every day. But your advisor does too, because he or she is walking alongside you, helping you make wise decisions that are informed ultimately by your values. It's not even about your financial goals. It starts with who you are in Christ and your role as a Christ follower and your role as a steward, and then how money becomes a tool, a good gift from God that's a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Well, you're not going to be able to do that fully without an advisor who understands that and can really counsel you in that way. And so I'd really consider that. Again, that question is, what role does faith play in your financial advice? I'll share the other two kind of big buckets interviewing a financial advisor throughout the rest of the broadcast. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, let's go to Winter Haven. Hi, Debbie. Go ahead.
Hi. I'll try to explain this clearly. I want to know where to invest Roth IRA funds. It's a large account. I have it with a private custodian. It's a checkbook LLC, so I'm the one that determines where it gets invested. And right now it's just sitting in a bank account for that LLC, shrinking because of inflation. I just want to keep up with inflation.
Yes. Okay. So talk to me about, so this is your money and it's put aside for your retirement. What's the time horizon on this? Give me a little bit more on that.
What do you mean time horizon? I'm 71 years old.
Okay. And how much
for the rest of my life?
Okay. Got it. And how much is in this account?
At least $500,000.
Okay. And are you pulling anything out of it right now, Debbie, or is it just growing?
It's just shrinking because of inflation, but no, I'm not pulling any money out.
Okay. So it's in the money market account or something equivalent to that?
No, it's just in a bank account. It's just shrinking. I just need to do something that's not shrinking. I've been to financial advisors, but they haven't been any help.
Yeah. Well, then you may not like my counsel because, you know, ultimately I think you need to get, you've got two options here. Number one is, I agree with you. You know, this is money you're not having to live on right now. You've got a sizable nest egg. That's great. What a gift from the Lord. Clearly you've, you know, lived modestly and saved appropriately. And so now you've got this nest egg. And I think part of your stewardship responsibility, and the same for me, is to manage it wisely. And that includes to grow it. And when we do that by investing it, it provides capital to business for human flourishing. So that's a good thing. Now, how do we do that? And that comes down to how much risk do we want to take for how much reward or return? Right now, you're sitting in what you're calling a checking account or a bank account inside a Roth IRA. And to your point, because of the effects of inflation, it's losing purchasing power every day. And so we need to get it out of that. So the question is, how much risk do you want to take for what expected return? So you could begin to move up the risk spectrum by, you know, using CDs, brokered CDs, where, you know, instead of getting whatever you're getting right now, maybe you're earning 4%. And then we could move up a little bit from there and you get U.S. Treasuries. We could go up a little bit more on the risk spectrum and, you know, look at bonds, a mix of corporate and government bonds. We could even move a little more and add, some stock exposure to that. But then you have to decide not only what is my time horizon, risk tolerance, and how much, you know, what investments, but I've got to decide, do I want to do that myself or do I want to delegate that responsibility to someone else who perhaps has expertise and shares my values and has a good track record, who keeps me informed and manages this based on my age and goals and objectives, but is going to give oversight to it and make sure that it's positioned properly. And that's an ongoing thing that may change, or it should change with time. So that's where I would say, with $500,000 at 71, my typical response would be, let's find an advisor who you have a good rapport with, who has a good track record, you understand how he or she gets paid, they share your values, you move this money over to an account with their management, but with your oversight, of course, and then they're kind of off to the races. But if you're not comfortable with that, you've had a bad experience, or you just want to do it yourself, then I think we're back to, okay, if we're not using a bank account, what about CDs? What about bonds? What about stocks? What about precious metals? And then you build it yourself. Does that make sense, though?
I think I need to go back to a financial advisor. I have a different financial situation than last time.
Okay, yeah. So I would recommend, and I mentioned this a moment ago before you and I got on the phone, the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. So these are men and women who have met an experience requirement, pastor reference, client reference. They've been trained to bring a biblical worldview, character and integrity requirements. And there's 1,800 of them across the country. So go to faithfi.com, faithfi.com, and click Find a Professional. Stay on the line. If you'd prefer not to do that, we can get somebody in touch to make that connection over the phone. We'll be right back.
To be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
Today's issues.
Blaming a gun for a violent crime or a murder is like blaming the pencil for a misspelled word.
Mm. Ooh, I like that.
That would be like a student who he does terrible on spelling. And he says, well,
we've had a rash of pencil-oriented mistakes.
Misspell words.
Today's issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
We're so glad you're along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Our goal, our hope and prayer for you is that you would see God as your ultimate treasure as we explore God's word as it relates to money decisions. Let me come back for a moment, though, to what I was talking about earlier, and that is a lot of the questions we get are around how do I find the right financial advisor for me? And I think there's kind of 3 big buckets of what you're looking for, among others, as you interview this prospective advisor. The first bucket is around values alignment. I was sharing that I think your advisor sharing your worldview, understanding the heart of God and the counsel of Scripture as it relates to money, is not just a nice to have. I think it's critical to, in particular, money and financial decision making. It's different than a plumber. You know, I'd love to have a Christian plumber. He, you know, would or she could act with integrity and, you know, be honest in their dealings. Those are good things. But there's not really a whole lot in plumbing that you find in God's word that you might be different from a secular plumber. That's just not the case with financial decision making because it's so closely connected to our hearts, because God's word has so much to say on this topic. I think it's really essential. So that key question is, what role does faith play in your financial advice? A second one might be, what's your definition of financial success? You want to listen for whether they're looking only for returns or considering how they might encourage your stewardship or generosity or your faithfulness. They understand money is a tool, not a goal, that can bring biblical alignment, and that brings clarity and peace of mind. So that's the first one. The second category is really around their technical proficiency. And so, you know, this is, do they have the industry designations and the experience serving clients you like? I would ask them about certification and years of experience. So the question might be something like, tell me about clients you serve who are similar to me and how you've served them. So without naming names, they should be able to share some stories of impact. That third category is, of course, and this is a big one, about process and compensation. So the advisor should clearly explain the ways they are compensated. So I would confidently ask, I want to be sure I'm clear on the ways you make money. Could you walk me through your fees and commissions on the ways you make money? Can you walk me through your fees and commissions for a client like me? Not only are advisors required to disclose this, I would say excellent advisors want to make sure that you understand. And you also want to be clear on their process. So the key question there is, what's your process for creating a financial plan? They should be able to clearly outline a step-by-step approach to the timeline, the information required, any additional fees, if there are any. And so you would want to understand that. I think a fourth would be really around communication. How do you typically communicate with your clients? And do you have flexibility to communicate in a way that is most desirable for me? So do you want to have Zoom meetings or do you want to meet face-to-face? Are you good with a quarterly rhythm or is semi-annual enough? You know, those are the kinds of things that I think getting, you know, expectations on the table from the very beginning are going to really help to address any potential for missed expectations down the road. And so I think that's why it's really so key that that you address that up front. Hopefully that helps you, maybe gives you a roadmap for how you can explore and interview a financial advisor. Again, if you'd like to find a CKA, Certified Kingdom Advisor, in your city who's been vetted for integrity, technical excellence, a biblical worldview, just go to faithfi.com, click find a professional. That's faithfi.com. All right, back to the phones we go. Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Russell. Go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much. My Social Security question is regarding my wife receiving a reduced amount on my benefit. I will start Social Security at my full retirement age in 2 more months. If my wife begins Social Security at an early age, she's not 62 yet, but if she chooses to at 62, she'll get a reduced amount. I understand that. But should I pass before her? Maybe she's 2 years older after she started her reduced amount. Will she then get 100% of my benefit at a new reduced amount, or will she be stuck with that same reduced amount percentage based on my 100% benefit?
Yes, I see. So you're wondering specifically about the survivor's benefit at an age less than full retirement age. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. For my spouse, should be for the surviving spouse. But it's a transition that I can't find anything online about this. The transition is she takes a reduced amount while we're both still alive. I understand all of that.
Yeah.
But when I pass, if it's before her, she'll get 100% of my benefit at her full retirement age. So can she effectively pause her early benefit and then wait till she's full retirement age and to get my full amount? That's the transition I can't get an understanding of.
Yeah, very good. You know, the key there is, and I can totally understand it because, you know, it is confusing. You know, in terms of the survivor benefit, if she is before full retirement age, so if she claims the survivor's benefit before her full retirement age, the benefit will be reduced. It ends up being about 4.75% per year for every year prior to full retirement age. There are some exceptions, but it's only disability. So she would really need to wait to full retirement age, to be able to get that full benefit.
I understand that. But what if she's getting, we're both still alive, she's getting maybe an 80% benefit of my 50% because we're both still alive. But when if I pass before her, then she would be entitled to 100% of my benefit at her full retirement age.
Right.
But she's been receiving benefits, say, for 2 years at a reduced amount of my 50%. So now I'm gone. And she would now qualify for 100% of my benefit. So how does that transition work? Would she now reset? And now she's 64 years old, and she would get a reduced benefit based on my 100% benefit. Or would she be stuck with that earlier, maybe a lesser percentage, but now 100% rather than 50%. I'm sorry if that sounds confusing.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts of that, so I totally get it. So basically, you know, when you talk about the transition from spousal to survivor, it does involve some pretty specific rules. So essentially, if your wife was receiving spousal benefits before her full retirement age, it's reduced for claiming early. You've already acknowledged that. After your death, she is responsible for survivor's benefits up to 100% of your benefit. If your benefit was $2,500 a month, she could receive the $2,500 a month at her full retirement age. In terms of the transition, you know, there's an automatic notification. So when you pass away, Social Security is typically notified via the, you know, funeral home or death certificate or so forth, or she can report that. And then the Social Security Administration will replace her spousal benefit with the survivor benefit if it's higher, effective the month after your death. She can't receive both. So that's, you know, I think, you know, the way that goes down, and then again, the reduction for claiming survivor's benefits before full retirement age locks in for life, unlike the spousal benefits, which, you know, can increase if she switches to her own benefit later, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think I'm going to have to rest in assuming that Social Security may recalculate at my death whatever her benefit is as a survivor, which I'm thinking would reset everything. And if she's less than full retirement age, she'll get a reduced amount of my 100%. I understand that.
Yes, exactly. So what she could do, you know, would be if she's under the full retirement age, she could delay claiming survivor's benefits until the full retirement age, or she could take, you know, it earlier if needed. So that's the only one that does allow you to delay, whereas you can't do that with her own benefit versus the spousal. But on the survivor's benefit, she can. So if she wanted to get that full amount, she could either delay and then get the full amount at full retirement age based on your full benefit that you waited for, or she could switch immediately and take the reduced portion of your benefit as a survivor's benefit and, you know, get that higher amount starting right away. She would be able to make that choice.
Okay, that makes sense. It does. Thank you. I really appreciate
Excellent.
This.
You're welcome, Russell. We appreciate you calling today. I know that can get confusing. And if you guys want to get numbers based on your own record, I would think, you know, scheduling a meeting with Social Security Administration may not be a bad idea, just to go down and actually pull out the numbers and kind of walk through it with them. And rather than talking in generalities, you can talk about exactly what's going on. But we appreciate you being on the program today. Well, folks, we are about out of time today. And boy, I so appreciate you being a part of the program and listening and calling and interacting with us. It's such a privilege to walk alongside you and this really high calling that you have of managing God's money as a wise and faithful steward. You know, we hear from so many of you that call in and say, man, I love the program, or I was able to apply something, or guess what? I started listening a couple of years ago and I want to celebrate with you because my house was just paid off, or I gave out of my balance sheet. I never thought I could do that. I've given more than I ever thought possible. We love to hear those stories. So please call us with those stories and share those with us along the way, because that's an encouragement to our team. I would also say, if you love the program and listen regularly, one of the ways you can help is by becoming a FaithFi partner. Those are the men and women that support this ministry so we can reach more people and continue to do the work God has called us to. But in addition to that, when you become a partner, we're able to send you some of the resources that we create specifically to encourage you in your stewardship journey, namely our magazine, Faithful Steward, which I'm holding issue 2 in my hand. It just came in the last week. It's beautiful. It's full of incredible articles, and I'd love for you to get it each quarter on top of any new studies or devotionals. And you also get, as a partner, a pro subscription to the FaithFi app, where you can connect to all your institutions. To become a partner, just go to our website, faithfi.com, and click give. Let me say thanks. Thankful for Sandy and Taylor and Devin. Everybody here at FaithFi certainly couldn't do this without them and without each of you listening and calling. So thanks for being a part of the broadcast today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.